Humans have evolved. As a matter of fact, you are evolving right now. Well, that is if you're listening. You're evolving right now. Why? Because you're learning. And when we learn, we change. We evolve. We will not be, literally, like our Bible pledge says, you are not the same person when you leave as you were when you showed up on Sunday mornings. You have evolved. However, remember the story I told you about the computer? Do you remember? The box and the polymer plastics and the copper and such. And if I would shake those things in the box, how long would it take for me to come out with a laptop computer? You remember that? You don't remember that? Do I need to tell that story again? Oh, okay. All right. So, you know, it sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? Thinking about putting these plastics and copper and silicon in a box and shaking it and asking the question, how long do I have to shake it before a laptop computer comes out? That really sounds silly, doesn't it? Well, that's exactly what people are saying when they believe in the theory of evolution. That it just happened. That it just came together. All things came together. That, and my point this morning is, evolution makes no sense without God. You see, if we don't include God, the primordial soup would still be slop. It would be lifeless. God is God. And if the Creator, folks, wants to use evolution as a means of change, who am I to tell him differently, right? So, but evolution makes no sense, again, without God. The Bible isn't trying to teach us how. It's not concerned with these types of questions. It's a story of God's relationship with humanity. It says that God initiated this relationship. God created human beings to be in a relationship with God, our parent. It's trying to teach us who and why. All right, well, we're not going to get out of it that easy. The Bible is also a book about humanity. God created us and puts us in paradise and said we could do anything but eat of that one particular fruit. And guess what? The Bible is a book about us. Amen? This is our story. How many times, parents, do we tell our kids not to do maybe even one thing? And what is the first thing that they do? You see, I kind of think maybe God had it backwards, and I'm not trying to say I'm bigger or smarter than God or anything. But, you know, I think if God would have said, hey, there's the tree, go for it, but anything else in the garden you can't touch. I think he would have had the deal then, don't you? We'd be in a different place now. No, anyway, put us in paradise. This is a story about us, folks. Since the Garden of Eden, now listen to me. Since the Garden of Eden, it has been our story. Because there isn't one of us who hasn't heard the serpent in our ear whispering, eat the apple. It's beautiful, and it tastes so good. Haven't we heard that? I don't know about you, but just thinking about eating a nice, juicy, sour apple is making my mouth work overtime. Anybody else, their mouth ache when they think about that? Haven't we heard that, folks? Eat the apple. Oh, it's beautiful. What's the apple? You fill in the blank. You fill in the blank. It's a story about us. But you know what? We eat the apple. And then guess what? Marge! Oh, it's delicious. You've got to eat this apple. Come on, eat it, eat it, eat it. Have to. And she eats the apple. Right? So not only do we eat the apple ourselves, but we share it. And then we feel shame, don't we, Homer? We feel shame. And when we're called on the carpet about it was her fault. Wasn't me. I was forced into the whole thing. Don't we do that? Isn't that what humanity does? See, this is our story, Ted.
This is our story.
It is our story. It is our story. You see, If we read this story and ask, what kind of snake was it? If we read this story and say, how did that snake talk?